Stormy weather electrifies the Upper Lynn Canal, and we have local reaction to new redistricting proposals. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. If you've ever been to the Midwest Plains during the summer months, you probably felt right at home Monday night in the Upper Lynn Canal. But for longtime residents, the booming thunder and crashing lightning was a unique weather experience. Paul Swift is the local weather observer in Haines. At one point, some of the thunder was so intense, he said he felt it.
It absolutely did shake our house. It was so close, and it was so bright, and so loud. That sounded like I was in the Midwest somewhere.
The storm system was more show than rain-producing. Swift said he recorded less than a quarter inch of rain during the event. But according to the national weather forecaster Tim Steffen in Juneau, more than 100 lightning strikes were recorded between 6 and 8 p.m.
At one point, we had 50 strikes in 15 minutes, but it averaged around 20 or 30 strikes every 15 minutes around that area, mainly the whole northern panhandle.
Lightning strikes Monday night are suspected in two small fires in Haines that prompted response from the Haines Fire Department. The department was called out to 6 Mile Haines Highway about 8:30 p.m. when a resident reported a tree on fire across the Chilkat River. Fireman Al Badgley said that fire was out by the time the department responded. Then, at about 10 p.m., the ferry Columbia reported a fire on the hill near the Haines Ferry Terminal. Badgley said by the time a firefighter responded to that area, there were no flames visible. Badgley said there could be more callouts Tuesday if lightning ignited any other fires Monday night that then grew in size on Tuesday. Forecaster Steffen said the storm system started east of the Lynn Canal late Monday afternoon in Canada and moved west over the Panhandle. And while the storm seemed to linger over the area for an extended period of time, local meteorologist Jim Green said it was actually several storm cells that passed through the area.
There was at least three or four different cells that came real close to us, and there were more that were farther north, and Skagway really got hit hard from what I can tell. And farther south, even Glacier Bay and Juneau and so forth. So that was an area we were kind of really near the heart of them.
Green also publishes the Alaska Weather Calendar each year. He was watching the weather Monday evening and said he tracked the storms by listening to the thunder and watching the lightning to gauge how close the storm cell was to Haines.
If you see the lightning, you can count how many seconds until you hear the thunder in that particular lightning strike. And for every 5 seconds, it's approximately a mile away. And that's pretty close to be a thunderstorm. A mile or less, it's time to take shelter.
Green said the sound of the thunder depended on the intensity of the lightning. Green says the noise of the thunder is actually the sound of the air expanding when the lightning bolt goes through it. The warmer temperatures have also contributed to the storms. Swift said at 87 degrees Monday in Haines, it was the warmest day so far this year. Green explains how the heat aids in producing such a storm.
The heat near the surface, as that builds up, warmer and warmer, it wants to rise up, just like if you're cooking something on the stove, you're heating it from the bottom, and it wants to convect and bubble up. And if there's cooler air aloft or something to sort of help it along, then that's when we can really get quite a show.
No other injuries or damage were reported from the storm, but with as much lightning as there was, there are a few precautions that people should take during such storms. Badgley warns that people should not be on the water during storms and try to stay out of large, flat areas like the golf course. There are also a few precautions residents can take at home during electrical storms. Eric Stevens is a technology coordinator at the Haines Library. He says it's a safe bet to unplug any expensive electrical equipment during lightning storms. Shutting down a device, like a computer, won't prevent a power surge if it happens, so devices actually need to be unplugged, Stevens said, to protect them. More thunderstorms are forecasted for Tuesday evening and possibly later this week for the Upper Lynn Canal.
Thank you.
Sea Alaska shareholders have re-elected four incumbents to their Regional Native Corporation Board of Directors: Richard Reinhart Jr., Jody Mitchell, Jackie Johnson-Peta, and Patrick Anderson were the top vote-getters. Results were announced Saturday at Sea Alaska's annual meeting in Hoonah. The board chose Alicia Guthrie as youth advisor for the next year. The incumbents were challenged by 10 independent candidates, many critical of the corporation's board and managers. Mike Beasley, Myrna Gardner, and Ralph Wolf were the top independent vote-getters. Sea Alaska says about 120 shareholders and guests attended the meeting in Hoonah. Another approximately 280 households viewed via a webcast. Board members chose Albert Kukesh and Rosita World to continue chairing and vice-chairing the panel. Top managers were also retained, including President and CEO Chris McNeil, Jr. We mentioned in our Monday evening newscast that the Haynesboro Assembly will be discussing new options in front of the State Redistricting Board at their next meeting. Those latest redistricting maps propose new political boundaries for much of Southeast Alaska. Some answer community concerns, but as Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports, the final result is not going to make everyone happy.
The Alaska Redistricting Board has come up with seven new maps of its own. Four more were submitted by the Ketchikan-Gateway Borough, the Chelista Regional Native Corporation, and two other groups. But the redistricting maps online are small or compressed, so it's hard to even tell where some communities end up.
I don't think anybody really knows what's going on with redistricting.
That's Skagway Mayor Stan Selmer. Like many Southeast leaders, he's considering the implications of another round of election boundary changes.
I'm a little bit disappointed that it's got this much of a life.
The Northern Lynn Canal community used to be linked to Haines, its nearby neighbor, and quite a few other small Southeast towns. The current redistricting map, undergoing a court-ordered review, put Skagway in with downtown Juneau, Petersburg, Gustavus, and Tenakee Springs. New maps keep Selmer's town linked to the capital city and its Lynn Canal neighbor.
I know that geography really is the major component of tying Haines, Skagway, and Juneau together.
Most of the new redistricting maps match other Southeast communities with their neighbors rather than the long, narrow strings of towns that have been seen in the past. For example, the plans link all of Southern Southeast together. Dan Bockhorst is borough manager of Ketchikan, which submitted its own set of regional boundaries.
The plan that was presented would encompass all of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough and areas with which Ketchikan has strong social, cultural, economic, geographic, and transportation connections and similarities.
Some of the 11 proposed maps shuffle communities and boundaries in the middle of the region. A number, including Ketchikan's, put Wrangell back in a district with Sitka and Petersburg. That's what Petersburg wants, rather than the current district with Juneau. All these changes make it hard for some residents to know who their legislators are, and vice versa.
I would just go with the flow with whatever it is. It's just very frustrating when you get yanked around.
That's Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson. She lost Sitka and Petersburg from her district for the 2012 elections, and she gained much larger Ketchikan.
The thing is, I know that district so well because I've had it for so long, and it's been a challenge for me to get to learn all new people.
Election districts have to have pretty much the same number of residents, so when Southeast Alaska didn't grow, and other parts of the state did, redistricting cost the region two of its eight legislative seats. That forced small towns in with larger communities, some against their will. Merrill Sanford is mayor of Juneau, which has about half the region's residents and two of its four remaining election districts.
And it just seems like no matter how you cut it, we end up having to have some of the other littler communities around us, one way or the other, in our district. And of course, that scares and worries them, and I don't blame them.
A public hearing on the plans is set for noon to 4 p.m. July 2nd in Juneau. Others are set for June 28th in Anchorage and July 1st in Fairbanks. Testimony will be taken in person and via teleconference. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
We've linked to those new redistricting plans on our KHNS News webpage. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Clequan. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.